Welcome to Boomercast number 14. It is January 30th. Hard to believe. This is Gabe. We've got Michael joining us tonight. And we've got a ton of new 2011 model year info for the U.S. market for BMWs. We're going to touch on some small things like the competition package for the M3. We'll talk about, of course, the new 335iS model, the new 3 Series Coupe, and a bunch of other 2011-specific things coming up.
Lots of 2011 stuff.
Yeah. Stay tuned. And we are back. It has been, it's been about a week and a half now. I'm glad to be back. And I have to admit, I'm a little under the weather. It's the dead of winter here in Chicago. So as tends to happen, you eventually your body breaks down.
Yeah, and as we say here in the Northeast, it's freaking freezing. So
yeah, it is. It is. And it's just about the time of the year when you start to dream about track days and 19-inch tires with, you know, rubber that's so sticky it actually makes noise as it, you know, goes on the street. So,
which is a great time, and I guess, you know, that's a good way to start. I mean, we have there's the first race of the year coming up this weekend, 24 hours at Daytona. Mm-hmm. Turner Motorsports is going to have the M6 actually with a full Riley tube chassis competing this weekend in the 24 hour race.
And now, help me out here. This M6 that we're talking about, it's a tube chassis, totally not a stock car in any way other than the body panels, right?
The car is actually, I believe, carbon fiber, like the actual body panels and everything. Uh-huh. So I think it's really just, it's a one-off race car. Mm-hmm. And it's actually going to be driven partially by Bill Aberlin and Joey Han from BMW Rahal. So it's a warm-up for them. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a 24-hour drop in there warm-up. Mm-hmm. So they have a good shooting chance, I think. But it's nice to see some more, you know, BMW performance cars out racing, you know, get mm-hmm. us going for spring. And
it's interesting, the 24 Hours of Daytona just isn't what it used to be, of course, since the big split, ALMS, obviously. I mean, in my mind, as cool as this news is, I'm just looking forward to Sebring. I just can't wait.
Yeah, Sebring. Sebring's, you know, right around the corner. I think they're going to start testing down there in February. And I know that the team has actually been doing some private testing of late. So, you know, the ALMS car is going through its paces right now as we speak, you know.
Very,
which is
very
great.
Cool. So speaking of race cars and whatnot, or racy cars, I should say, we had a bit of a scoop last week with the competition package for the M3. Actually, it was a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And we found out today in this huge, huge release for 2011 models that the competition package will consist of not a lot.
No, it's not going to consist of all that much, to be honest with you. Our original information that we had received from a reliable source was a little bit off, but nonetheless, it did provide us with some knowledge that BMW North America was going to at least bring us a competition package, which is always welcome, because the competition packages usually are the cars us enthusiasts crave, and they usually have a little bit more performance to them, and usually look a little bit more aggressive. And I think that's where we're focusing, BMW North America and BMW AG in general is focusing on the looks and, you know, some of the handling with this car. It's really just going to feature some larger wheels, wider footprint of the wheel, as well as a lowered suspension and some modification to the damping control and some of the, you know, brake systems.
So this is the M3 we're talking about, of course, and this is going to be available on the coupe and the sedan for $2,500. So you have got basically a sweet set of 19-inch wheels. This is straight off the GTS model, of course. A little bit lower suspension. These suspension parts, I assume, are carried over from the M3 Edition model, which, again, the strangest name ever. I mean, you have to figure, no offense, but a non-English person came up with that name.
It's very strange. It makes little to no sense to me. But
English speaking person, I should say. But anyway, regardless, it's a little bit lower. And remapped EDC, electronic damping control. That to me is probably the most interesting thing. The DSC, I just need to know more about that, really.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is, to be honest with you, is, you know, they're lowering the springs, so they have to make some modifications to the EDC because it's going to be a different, mm-hmm. you know, different range of travel because the suspension is already lowered. So they're going to have to modify the algorithms in the EDC there, the damping control. And then for the dynamic stability control, you have a tire with a wider footprint, so you're going to get more traction. So they can actually, you know, I think increase the or decrease the interference mm-hmm. from the computer because you're getting more rubber on the road. So I think those are the two tweaks, and they really have to do, I think, with also the changes in the hardware. We'll find out more, but I'm just off the bat. That's what mm-hmm. I'm looking at.
Well, one of the things I want to touch on, I mean, we can go through this thing, but since we're talking about M cars, you may ask, M5, what's going on? Well, it's going to be taking a year off for 2011, and production is going to be ending very shortly this spring.
I think it's done now, actually.
Well, there you go.
I think they've clocked back all the sedan productions for the 5 Series is completely, I think, shut down, and mm-hmm. I believe the wagon will be produced through April.
All right. Well, and also, speaking of the M's, the M6 Coupe, somewhat tellingly, will be produced as a 2010 model until the fall, and at that point, we have no news. So we can only tell you to stay tuned.
Yeah.
We would love to. Well, I guess we'll tell you more about that soon.
Absolutely. Well, there's lots of good stuff going on there, but you know the other thing. All of these models, including the X6, will be getting the N55 as the base 6-cylinder motor for the turbo effect. Anyway, the 35s, as mm-hmm. it were. Mm-hmm. So you have the 335, the X635, the X535 version, mm-hmm. the 535. You know, basically everything's going to get that single turbo, twin scroll N55 motor.
Well, the X5 really needed it. You know, obviously the X6 had that N54 previously, but the X5, made do with the old inline six with no turbo. Of course, the 1 Series moves to the N55, the 3 Series moves to the N55 as well. You know, beyond that, we get into the 740, which is of course going to be bringing on a 6-cylinder engine, but it's going to be the N54.
Yeah, an up-tuned N54.
Which 315 horsepower.
Yeah, which was specifically designed for the U.S. market. And I think that's a really nice product, to be honest with you, from a perspective. It's going to be balanced better just because mm-hmm. it's going to have less weight in the nose. And I think it's actually going to perform better in terms of handling than you know the mm-hmm. other versions will be. I also think we'll see a lot of debadged 7 Series. But because you can get every option in the car, so.
Well, you know, I think it's not a bad 315 horsepower is not bad, even though it's a heavy car.
Well, I mean, the old V8s used to put out about the same. So.
282 for the longest time, it seemed.
Yeah.
Like. Absolutely, and then of course, you know, we've got the Z4 Roadster, and not a lot of news there except for the 335 IS. But otherwise, it looks like am I right to think to say that it's going to be an N54 continuing in that engine? In the Z4 S-Drive 35i?
Yeah, so it should be continuing on as a N54 motor, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, these names are getting so long, Gabe. We're going to have to come up with our own like Cliff Notes versions of...
Well, you know, I think in the mini world, it's pretty simple because there aren't that many models. So you can just say, you know, MCS, MC, MCC, things like that. This is just insane. I mean, the 2004 S-Drive 30i. I mean, God knows if that had X-Drive on it, I don't know what the hell I'd do. But it's It's a little ridiculous, and we've laughed about it before, but my God, it's unbelievable. One of the things that I am really excited about looking at this release is the X5M. I'm going to be spending a week with that particular crossover, and it's one of those that I know, Michael, you've had a chance to drive. It's one of the few that I haven't had a chance to drive just because of timing. So it'll be fun for me to actually get a chance to put some miles on one of those things.
That's a great vehicle. I love the X5M.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting looking. I guess we'll find out. One of the things that was a bit of a surprise was the fact that BMW went ahead and released the 335 IS model in I think it was in Portugal or Spain, when where the press was assembled to test drive the new 5 Series or some of the international press. The 335 IS model is one that we talked about quite a bit here. In fact, we broke a lot of the information that you've seen throughout the web before it was released officially. It is going to feature, or is featuring, the twin turbocharged N54 inline 6 that's tuned to 320 horsepower, 332 foot-pound of torque. It will have a DCT with launch control as an option, but it'll also have, and this is a bit of a surprise, a 6-speed manual as standard.
Yeah, the 6-speed manual caught me completely off guard, because all of the information I was given from sources indicated that the manual wasn't coming, just like, you know, the Z4. So when that was announced, I was very happy. I was very, you know, as an enthusiast, that's good. This manual is going to stay in some of these performance cars, which is a beautiful thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's great looking. I like the way the car looks personally. I think it's aggressive enough and definitely has a market. I had posted something the other day, and we had some server issues, which we apologize for. That so it became vapor, the post, where I was comparing comparing the M3 to the IS.
Yeah, and I have to say, I had one like that at Motorinfeld too, and it was our server, a wonderful hosting company, made a bit of a mistake. So hopefully we'll get that back for you at some point.
Yeah, no, we'll try to get that up. But I just was very intrigued by the whole premise of this IS is to have a car that has sporting intentions, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's going to be efficient. It's probably going to be cheaper than an M3. It mm-hmm. costs less than the M3 does. And I mean, it's definitely lacking some of the hard nose, you know, much more edgy components. You know, it doesn't have a really high revving V8. It doesn't have a LSD in the rear there, and but at the same time, it's not getting 8 miles to the gallon around town and, you know, 20 on the highway. So
yeah, it's true. I mean, there's a lot to talk about there, and it's almost a show in itself. But I mean, in my mind, when you start to look at the price of the 335 IS, it's a no-brainer. I see no reason why you'd frankly buy the 335 IS when you could pick up a slightly used M3. That's personally my take on it. But for the reasons you just mentioned, if efficiency is important to you, if for some reason you're buying a $50,000 car, yet you're still concerned about, you know, an extra $300 a year in insurance or $400 a year in insurance, then the 335 IS is probably your car as well. Long term, you know, it may prove to be a little bit less in terms of cost to take care of. It's, you know, there's a lot of those little things that add up. I mean, personally, I think it's priced right for what it is. And I think a lot of people who go out and look at M3s should seriously consider the 335 IS. The hardcore enthusiast, who has been lusting after that high revving V8, you know, probably not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the other thing that was interesting is that BMW has lowered the price of the DCT, the dual clutch
transmission. Quite a bit, actually.
It's down to $1,575. Mm-hmm.
When you think about when that first came out, it was well over $2,000.
It was very expensive. So it has definitely come down, and I think that's because they're able to offer it more and then, you know, get their economies of scale while still hitting their target number.
So one thing I have been trying to figure out for the longest time is, you know, what is BMW going to do with this 335 IS and horsepower and torque. And, you know, we know that the clutch, for instance, cannot take that much torque on the 3 Series, on that N54 engine. So what were they going to do? They basically came out with an engine that just that sort of skirted that line and has just enough torque for the clutch to be okay long term, it seems.
Well, that's a great question, and we haven't discussed this before, but I have pursued that question to other people in the know, and we will have an official response to that question in the coming weeks. So it's being investigated. It definitely is, because that is a great question.
Temporary torque is 370 under high load on that 335 IS, and we all know that that clutch has been, we've been told by people at BMW that it can't take a lot of torque, not for extended periods of time. So maybe that's how they get away with it. Who knows?
I'm not sure. And to be honest with you, I asked that question and I haven't even posted a lot of the information, because I really want to be able to explain that in great detail and have, you know, accurate information. So I don't even want to guesstimate what's going on with that. And I'm sure our friends at BMW will definitely get back to us and give us an official response as to what's going on in the area of the torque with the 6-speed manual, without a doubt.
So one of the things that I'm a little disappointed about with this car, and this is coming from somebody who owns a E46 ZHP sedan. There's no sedan. There's only the coupe and the convertible. You know, it seems like it's kind of a missed market. Do you think that we're going to see that at some point?
I don't think we're going to see that in the sedan. I think what they're shooting for here is the people that are having sporty intentions. And to be honest, Gabe, you and I are in the minority.
Well, clearly the M3 sedan sales would also show that as well.
Right. So I think, you know, looking at the M3 sedan sales and probably looking at your ZHP sales and hitting target numbers, and, you know, that's a business, so they really want to invest the money where they can. And with the life cycle impulse of the coupe and the convertible coming, I think they were able to budget all that into one package, to be honest with you. And because, you know, if you add it now to the sedan, it's kind of a moot point, you know, because it's 11 and you have 12 and then it's done. So
well, I will hold on to my ZHP as long as possible. I love that car.
Well, the ZHP too, also, you know, it had some things that were exclusive to it.
Well, it's a little bit, it's interesting, because I think in my mind, it's a little bit more thoroughly reworked. And you start to think about the competition package of the M3, and you kind of have to think that the E46 M3 and its competition package was sort of the same way. There's a little bit more work done to those cars.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, if you look at the E46 competition package for the M3, you had the whole interior was Alcantara, and it was, you know, it was special in its own right.
The wheels, you had the different brakes. Brakes were from the CSL, which of course is never imported to the U.S. There's a lot of little things that were done. You look at the ZHP, you had Alpina cams, a different exhaust, which the 335 IS has as well. But then you had an entirely different suspension, arguably, different mounts all around, Alcantara everywhere on the inside, the anthracite headliner, you know, just a M body kit, which a lot of this is very similar to what the 335 IS has. But there's a couple key things there that they clearly invested some money in, probably looked at, you know, with hindsight, and realized they probably didn't need to invest the money in it. And hence we have, you know, a mildly reworked N54 that breathes a little bit better.
Yeah, and the 335 IS is exclusive to the North American market. So it was definitely designed with a specific consumer group in mind. I think the only thing, honestly, I dislike about the car, and I've just seen photos from other sites on the web. We haven't actually gotten to experience this car yet. But on the dash, there's a little badge, you know, right on the passenger side. It says 335 IS, and that's probably the only thing in the whole vehicle that I find a little tackier.
Well, I mean, when you're driving, how are you going to remember that you're driving a 335 IS if you don't have that badge?
Well, you can look at your speedometer and tach, because it's also stated there.
Oh, so there's that's nice.
There's some reminders throughout the interior of what you're driving.
That's nice. Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, but otherwise, I think it's a great product. It definitely has its market. It definitely is going to be a step up from the 335 with the Sport Pack. So, mm-hmm. I think they hit the nail on the head there. And it is a direct competitor, I guess you could say, with the Audi S5.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is some correlation there, and I see where they were going. And I think it's going to be a great product. I like the wheels a lot too.
Oh yeah, the wheels are fantastic. I think the body kit looks great. I do think that the coupe looks the M3 as a coupe looks fantastic because of the haunches in the back, you know, those fender flares yes. in the rear. And in my mind, I look at the 335 IS and it misses that a little bit as a performance car. It doesn't scream or doesn't, not that the M3 screams it, but the M3 is very muscular. And
angry.
The 335 IS is just a little bit more svelte.
Yeah, it's more streamlined.
So, for what it's worth, and honestly, like, that was such a big release that kind of took all of the news that we've posted and we've broke on Bimmerfile over the past few weeks and summed it up in one official release, which was kind of nice and tidy of BMW in North America.
Yeah, it was great. It's great, you know. And in the interesting, the other thing that just happened was that they did the press launch, the European press launch for the 5 Series before the thing's even shown at a car show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
I've never seen that before. I don't, you know, in my memory, which I thought was quite interesting. And that's supposed to break in Geneva. So mm-hmm. Geneva will be the first show that the 5 Series actually is at.
So what do you think about this M1 that we have seen a lot of photography around and also some video now of this thing roaming around some icy fields in the middle of God knows where? I mean, this thing sounds fantastic. It looks really interesting. People are pretty excited about it. You know, what can we expect?
Well, the video was filmed during winter testing up in Sweden. And it does sound fantastic. It actually doesn't have that turbo muffled sound almost to it. So mm-hmm. it sounds really good. And it actually sounds like it revs pretty freely because he's kicking it out pretty good. And then from the photos, which were leaked intentionally or however you want to put it by the world famous Scott, I don't know how accurate they are. I don't know, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. if that's what we're going to see. It's definitely a fuzzy image and purposely done that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm sure we're going to see a really aggressive front end, probably along the same lines as the M3, because that looks like, you know, the M5 that's coming is also going to take some of that same aggressiveness from the M3, mm-hmm. but use those side scoops to channel air through the, you know, intercoolers and things like that.
Right,
so
right.
I think it's going to be a fantastic car. And from all reports that I'm hearing, you know, on the rumor mill, is that we'll see that as a concept in Geneva. And BMW, usually when they show a concept M, it's really pretty close to production.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be
sooner or later.
That's going to be a very, very interesting show.
Yeah, it could be. I think it's could be quite interesting, and hopefully we get over there.
Yeah.
We're working devilishly behind the scenes to get over there. You know, the one thing that I find quite interesting about this 1M or M1 or whatever they decide to name it is that it might be offered with matte paint. And I know how this is this new trend, and Gabe, you're a fan of it, and I guess Adrian Van Hooydonk has a black matte M3. I just wonder how you can repair that.
Well, according, and this is straight from Adrian's mouth to my ears, I mean, he said that they had purposely dinged it up essentially and painted it in their shop many, many times. They repaired it and it repaired beautifully. Those are his exact words.
Yeah, I'm just so curious to see, like, you get a little scratch, you know, you get a little scratch doing something, and, you know, now you can compound it out and then buff it and it's gone, you know, a little clear coat scratch. But I'm just curious to see what you do with matte paint if you get a scratch. You're going to have to repaint the whole thing. I'm just really curious, and that would be a show in and of itself, to be honest with you, because I would love to scratch a car and see how you fix it.
I would not want to be around that car. That's does not sound good.
But I'm immensely looking forward to this one series.
Oh, I am too. I mean, I'm a big M3 fan, and I love the naturally aspirated V8. And if I had to go out and pick a car right now, it'd probably be that. But that said, there's a lot that appeals to me about the smaller one series. I've often gone on record and said that the 135 is my favorite BMW made. So I am right there with you. I cannot wait.
Only if they made it in four doors, Gabe. Only.
That would be the smallest rear two doors I've ever seen in my life. Actually, I would not want a part of that. Give me the two door. In fact,
M3, if there's a five door hatch with a 1M, that would be pretty sweet. Well,
yeah, that'd be interesting. If I had to choose, if I had to choose, I'd go for the coupe in the M3. Just because the way it looks.
Yeah.
Just love the thing. But
function over form myself. That's.
Well, and it's certainly, if I didn't have two four doors in the garage right now, I'd probably answer differently.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, that is neither here nor there. But it will be a good show, and we're going to have a lot more on, obviously, the shows coming up. We've got the Chicago show in the next couple of weeks. And
we'll have the B7 Alpina.
Yeah, the B7 is going to be introduced there. So that... That will be an interesting show because it is the largest in the U.S., which I always like to mention, being from Chicago. It is actually the largest by volume in the world, I think.
For a car show.
But, of course, it doesn't quite have the panache of the Geneva or, sadly, even Detroit, which is, by the way, which is a bit of a dump.
I warned you, man.
Yeah, it is a bit of a dump, so... what can you say? It's Detroit. They're trying.
They're trying. They have a lot of extra buildings available. They do.
They have some very unique land opportunities. In fact, yeah, I believe it's literally like bring your, stuff and we'll give you a building. I mean, I'm not joking. It's like pretty much at that point now. So
Toyota might consider moving to Detroit.
I think they should move somewhere. Things aren't going well for them right now.
No, and that's that whole battle between, becoming number one and reaching your quote-unquote economies of scale to get things cheap and yet produce something quality. And they obviously grew too fast and blew it big time.
Something happened, yeah. Something happened there. So, what can you say? Hopefully things work out, I guess you could say that.
Well, I'm just surprised, another topic, but I'm just so surprised they do not have the brake overrides in those cars, which just amazes me. Like in this day and age, I think pretty much every other brand on the face of the planet, including Kia, you mm-hmm. step on the brake, the accelerator, automatically the computer tells it no more fuel.
Right, right.
But not Toyota.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, there's going to be an interesting fallout. I'm not entirely sure where it's going to end up for Toyota. We all remember Audi and the Audi 5000, and granted, it was a much smaller brand, but that was only one car back in the 80s with the unintended acceleration, and that had since been proven to be not true. So you can imagine, what in the world is this going to do to the world's largest automaker in their largest market? It could be devastating.
And have they even started recalling the Lexus versions yet?
I have not heard, but that's a very good question.
Because they are just, painted a little different and have that L badge.
Yeah, this is true. This is very true. So yeah, I don't know, and I think that I think we're going to be hearing a lot more of this. And it's one of those points in time where you sit back and think, God, I mean, if BMW is a small automaker were to screw up this badly on, almost their entire range of cars, I mean, what in the world would happen?
Yeah, it would be a disaster.
It would be a disaster. And I know that those guys at BMW are probably saying the same thing. And, you talk about how BMW is, very, they're very conservative, this and that. Well, I mean, this is a good example of why they have to be sometimes.
Yeah, no, it's true. It really is. And this is part of the reason why I think they test stuff so long and have separate teams working on separate things. And so there's no cross-contamination, I guess, you know. So, like, each car doesn't necessarily share the same components, even though now we're starting to see, like, the interiors be shared a little bit. But
Well,
I think that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, we will continue that and many more conversations next week. Lots to talk about, obviously. We've got a lot coming up with the shows, and we'll definitely touch a little bit more on the 335iS, and I would love to talk more about this M1 or 1M, if you will.
Yeah, and I should have hopefully by the end of next week, completed my yearly review of driving the M3 every day. So that should be fun.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Love to see it. Love to read it. Cool. Well, until then, this is Gabe. Cheers.
Michael, prost.